The man was a counterfeiter. His government knew he was a counterfeiter. He produced millions of dollars of fake money and sold it. And yet his government couldn't legally stop it, as he was doing it against another government, whom his own government refused to acknowledge. But if they didn't stop it, the other government might do it back to them. This is a curious case of Samuel Upman, an uncivil Civil War counterfeiter. Hi, and welcome back to the Historical Crimes and Criminals podcast. I'm Steve, your host. Counterfeiting has always happened, whether it was art, money, and even nowadays, you go into any big market in Asia, and there'll be loads of stalls selling counterfeit goods. Joseph Samuel Farinet was nicknamed the Robin Hood of the Alps. In 1869, he had fled from Italy, where he was wanted for counterfeiting, to Valais in southern Switzerland. In Valais, he did what he did best, and he went back to minting counterfeit 20 centime coins. But he gave these to poor locals, earning him his Robin Hood title, and in return, they helped him hide from the authorities. It helped that he had a roguish charm. He was a lover of wine and women. He stayed on the run for 11 years, but in 1880, at the age of 35, Farinet was finally cornered by the police in a gorge above a medieval village of Ceylon, where he fell, jumped, or was possibly pushed. It was a mysterious death that only added to the intrigue of his life. He remains a cult hero, and the village pays homage to his memory in the Museum of Counterfeit Money, which houses a court judgment convicting Farinet in absentia. The Valais region has also named its currency, which can be used in local businesses, after the counterfeiter. Many counterfeiters are caught because they supply gangs, and generally due to people being caught, the trail ends back at the supplier, but Emmerich Jüttner's counterfeiting was never high value or high profile, which might explain why he got away with it for so long. He was born in Austria in 1876, but moved to New York as a teenager, where he later met his wife and had two children of his own. To support his family, he worked as a building maintenance man, but when his wife died in 1937, he found himself short of cash. So he began making counterfeit $1 bills in his home, and he spent between 10 and 12 per week in various stores across Manhattan. Jüttner used the counterfeit currency for 10 years, but was always careful about it. He never used the fake bills in the same store twice. The US Secret Service became aware of his operation in the late 1930s and opened an investigation named Case 880. They only finally caught Jüttner in 1948 after he threw his counterfeiting materials out in the street after a fire in his apartment. He was sentenced to 4 months in prison and given a $1 fine. Samuel Upman was born in Vermont in 1819. He left home at the age of 20, finding work in New York City as a clerk. In 1842, he joined the Navy, before his discharge 3 years later. He worked then as a bookkeeper in Philadelphia, where he met his future wife, Anne. In January 1849, the restless Upman set sail, arriving in California on August 5th, 1849, to participate in the California Gold Rush. However, proven unsuccessful as a gold miner, Upman moved to Sacramento and founded the Sacramento Transcript, California's first daily newspaper published outside San Francisco. But, becoming homesick in 1850, he sold his shares in the newspaper and travelled back to Philadelphia. On returning to Philadelphia, Upman resumed his family role, fathering two children and supporting his wife with a stationery and toiletries shop. On March the 20th, 1960, he also became one of the founder shareholders in the People's Pacific Railroad Company. When the Civil War began in 1861, he began marketing patriotic items to support the Union, and novelty items mocking the Confederacy, such as cards depicting the head of the Confederate President Jefferson Davis on the body of a jackass. In February 1862, he acquired a sample of Confederate money and quickly produced his own counterfeits. His first printing consisted of 3,000 $5 notes, each stamped at the bottom with the words facsimile, Confederate note, sold wholesale and retailed by S.C. Upman, 403 Chestnut Street, Philadelphia. He sold his first batch for a penny per copy. Cotton smugglers in the South quickly began buying Upman's novelty notes, trimming the notice off at the bottom and flooding the Confederate economy with bogus bills. Since in the technology-poor Confederacy, scissors or shears were often used to cut apart sheets of genuine bills produced by the Confederate authorities, an Upman facsimile, shorn of its identifying note at the bottom, looked just like the real thing. It soon became clear that Samuel Upman wasn't the only one to recognise a good business opportunity when he saw it, and he was soon receiving bulk orders for his replicas. Before long, Upman was advertising what he called Mementos of the Rebellion in the New York Tribune, Harper's Weekly, and other newspapers. He also advertised himself willing to buy genuine Confederate notes and stamps. By May 1862, Upman was able to boast in a circular. Upwards of 80,000 of the notes and postage stamps have been sold in the past 4 weeks, and the cry is for more. By the end of May, Upman put another circular claiming 500,000 sold in the last 3 months. Ironically, this circular also warned potential purchasers, beware of base imitations. Upman was worried about his counterfeits being counterfeited. By April, the fakes had been appearing in Richmond, the Confederate capital, catching the attention of the Confederate authorities. The Confederate Treasury Department soon recognised them for what they were and passed the information on to the most popular of the Richmond newspapers, the Daily Dispatch. In May 31st, 1862 edition, the Dispatch voiced its outrage in an article headlined Yankee Rascality. The Yankee swindle before us is an engraved note of the denomination of 15 cents, and so like the original, which is lithographs, that it can only be detected by the words in very small print underneath the borderline, facsimile, sold wholesale and retail by S.C. Upman. Who is this man Upman? A knave swindler and a forger of the most depraved and despicable sort. It's fair to say that Upman wasn't the most popular man in the South. By the summer of 1862, Upman's bills were turning up in large numbers in Northern Virginia. As Union armies moved south into areas previously held by the Confederates, many of the soldiers came well equipped with Confederate money, which they freely used to make purchases from the civilian population. And by late 1862, Upman was selling 28 variants of Confederate bill denominations and postage stamps, with currency notes selling for 5 cents apiece. Upman had also switched from letter stock to high quality banknote paper for his forgeries. Upman's operation caused a dilemma for the Union government, as some members of Lincoln's administration genuinely feared that it would permit an enterprise like Upman's to carry on from the north would provoke Southerners to retaliate by counterfeiting Northern currency. But the Union government did not possess any legal means to stop Upman, because the Union government did not recognise the legitimacy of the Confederate government, so they couldn't prosecute someone for counterfeiting Confederate currency. The Union officials simply tried to persuade Upman to cease operations. However, when he declined, Upman soon found himself under investigation by the same officials who alleged that he was counterfeiting Union currency as well. Upman denied this claim, but likely would have gone to trial had US Secretary of War Edwin Stanton not personally intervened to dismiss the case. The Congress of the Confederacy responded to the flood of counterfeit bills by imposing the death sentence on convicted counterfeiters. Upman would later brag that the Confederacy had put a $10,000 reward on his capture, dead or alive. He later wrote, "During the publication of these facsimile notes, I was the best abused man in the Union." Senator Foote, in a speech before the Rebel Congress at Richmond in 1862, said, "I had done more to injure the Confederate cause than General McClellan and his army." Upman later claimed that he'd printed from 1862 to 1863 1,564,000 facsimile rebel notes of denominations ranging from 5 cents to $100, and presumed the aggregate issue in dollars and cents would amount to the round sum of $15 million. An estimate suggested that his fake Confederacy money amounted to almost 3% of the Confederacy's total money supply. By the end of the war, other printers were making and selling their own counterfeit bills, prompting Upman to lower his prices. The complete devaluation of genuine Confederate currency caused destabilization, and Southerners were largely avoiding Confederate notes, instead relying on barter or Northern bills. Upman discontinued his facsimile business in late 1863 and returned to selling stationery, perfume and hair dye. His notes, however, were still being used in the war-torn South by Union soldiers and other persons after he shut down his business. Upman died of cancer in 1885, but he certainly seemed to have done as much as any soldier to win the war for the Union. Needless to say, for collectors of Civil War memorabilia, these notes are a must-have for the serious collector. During World War II, the Nazis attempted to implement a similar plan, named Operation Bernhard, against the Allies. The Nazis took skilled Jewish artists in the Sachsenhausen concentration camp and forced them to forge British pounds and American dollars. After much trial and error, the quality of the counterfeiting was such top quality it was impossible to distinguish between the real and fake bills. But luckily, thanks to the turn of the war by this time, the Nazis were unable to carry out their planned aerial drops of the counterfeits over Britain. Well, that's it for another episode of the Historical Crimes and Criminals podcast. If anyone has any ideas of stories that they think I should cover, send me an email, and the email is on the show notes. Well, I've been Steve. Till next time, bye-bye.